pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
Here, folks, here on the Michigan Insider. I feel like it's a family reunion. Doesn't it feel like that?
It feels like that.
It's like, you know, the family went away for a while.
Brian hasn't even snarled at me yet.
Just you wait. Just you wait.
He's only been here for like 30 seconds, so.
It's coming. The MGO Blog Roundtable is what we call this hour every Thursday, 9 o'clock hour here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Online at WTK.com, sitting across from me, my guy, my man. He is the man over at MGO Blog. He has a great staff. Let's shout him out. Shout out his great staff over at MGO Blog, but he's
about
the man over there.
In trouble here.
You know? And we were warning you. You know, Craig Ross asked me when he got in here about my cruise, how it went, and how my youngest is doing. I said, man, the cruise was a revelation to me because, you know, I come home and, you know, I watch my son. We spend time together, but I'm not with him for the whole day, you know, right? Except on the weekend, but I'm not with him the whole day for seven straight days, eight straight days with him the whole day. Man, the kid is just, he's wire to wire.
Wait,
kid.
How old is he now?
He's two. He'll be three in a few weeks. He is wire to wire. I got to put the kid in 12 sports just to keep up with him. And I submit. I cannot. There's going to come a point where I'm going to have to, I'm really soon going to have to start putting him out on some field somewhere to let him run around. I'm just warning you, Brian. Your day is coming. He naps, and then that's like charging the battery.
Yeah, exactly.
Though. You almost don't want to let him nap.
Yeah, exactly.
You almost want to just tire him out, blow him out.
So my 7-year-old, man, like, he doesn't do sports, but he's still got that energy. He's still like 9 o'clock at night. We're trying to get him to go to bed. He's like, what's up, Mom? What's up, Dad?
Right. That day's coming, Brian. I'm just telling you. And this is crunch time for you, right?
Yeah, well, yes, but currently my child is a darling and an angel.
Right.
And that will be the case forever as I
sure will. Yeah.
Right.
You keep thinking
good
that.
Good luck, man. Right. I bring it up because I asked Brian, how you doing? He said, man, this is crunch time for me, you know, season preview.
It's crunch time, yeah.
Dude, in a couple of years.
In a couple of years what?
Let me just
in a couple of years the child will be able to help.
They'll
be
so,
like,
man.
You got him a social security number for a reason.
Can I copy edit this for you, father?
I'm just telling you, there's no way. If in a couple of years you've got to this point and you're calling it a crunch time and you're in a rush, there's no way you'll make it. I mean, not to put a damper on. Get it done earlier. Got to get it done earlier.
Brian has a wonderful wife, and he's got a wonderful family.
Man, I got a wonderful
child
wife.
Childcare.
I have a wonderful wife, too. I have a wonderful family, too. It doesn't help all the time, man.
Sam protests too much.
I'm not going to wind up on the couch because Ed said something over there. If I'm going to wind up on the couch, it's because of something I said. But at any rate, Brian, great to see you, man.
Hey,
how's
it going? We seem to digress from our usual topic.
Right? Well, we always digress, don't we?
Yeah.
Looking forward to the season. Craig Ross, you look tan.
Yeah.
I mean, you look happy.
Son of a...
I am.
how was your time in Hawaii?
It was great. You know, but it just struck me. This show has been like 7 years of digression.
Right?
In some sense.
Yeah.
Maybe regression.
I think that's what makes the... I don't know about you guys. I think that's what
makes it... No, it's 7 years of progression.
No, we are Devo.
I think that's what makes it... What makes it real is, hey, man, we talk about real stuff. We talk about sports, but we get off into real life.
Okay, that's right.
Ed Fang, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Sam?
I'm great. How are things over at the Power Rink?
They're good. They're busy. Opening up the site to new members this afternoon. Trying to make sure everything is all set and people are happy if they decide to become a member.
All right. Now, are you doing things with fantasy now?
Kind of.
Okay.
Once I get the site opened up, I think the next 2 weeks will be devoted to a little bit of NFL and a little bit of fantasy.
Gotcha. All right. Well, right now, all the talk around here, certainly all the emphasis over at MGO Blog, I'm sure, about fall camp, about the season, the forthcoming season, where there are a lot of lofty expectations for Michigan externally and internally. I'm curious, just over the first couple of weeks of fall camp, I know you guys have your ears to the ground as well. You're hearing things, you're, you know, about who's looking good, and you're developing or helping shape your opinions on the direction of things. Just anything that has stuck out to you over the first couple of weeks of fall camp that you've read, that you've heard, that you've seen?
Well, the first, I mean, the Bredesen noise seems to be the most profound one. Now, whether any of that is real, I have no idea. But I assume there's an actual competition at left tackle.
There is.
And that seems to be, to me, and of course, the freshman, that noise keeps surfacing. Evans, you know, perhaps getting some playing time this year, either maybe at running back or slot. I don't know.
I mean, Evans is an interesting guy because he actually posted a screenshot of himself in practice. I'm sure it didn't go over that well. But he's not lined up as a receiver. He's not lined up as a running back. He's lined up as like a spread H-back.
Okay.
And like Michigan has H-backs and they're shaped like Henry Poggi. They're shaped like Khalid Hill. But spread teams have H-backs that are shaped like Tavon Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in that kind of position. And I was thinking about like what they did with Peppers in the Ohio State game. I think you're going to see that role in the offense. You're going to have this guy who's kind of half receiver, half running back. Peppers is going to do it. Evans is going to do it. You could see Drake Johnson do it. Maybe Ty Isaac. Like, those guys all have that skill set. So I think you're going to see that kind of become a thing this year.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I drew upon is, in I recall last year around this time, and certainly there's some talk in the offseason about it, they were really enamored with Brian Cole's open field ability. His ability to make plays from multiple positions. He was a running back in high school at one point. He was becoming a receiver. At that point in time, he hadn't really progressed as far as the playbook was concerned. Right. They still wanted to get him on the football field. So they were, you know, Jeb was coming up with things, some designs to get him the ball. And you remember in that Utah game, they actually put him out in the formation, threw him a quick pass. It got snuffed. But it was an example of them trying to just do something just to get him on the field. And I feel the same way about Chris Evans. You know, he just got on campus. He doesn't even have the benefit of being an early enrollee. So there's going to be a learning curve as far as the playbook is concerned. But he is dynamic in the open field. And I've heard the people say, hey, man, this kid looks special when you put the ball in his hand. He's going to play all over.
I still think whatever that, you like, call 2017 him. Is – like his year, like,
yeah,
you
well,
still have Peppers this year.
Yeah, when I say that, look, I'm talking about, you know, a few touches
yeah,
a game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about, hey, he's going to steal carries and
right.
He's going to sit down Grant Perry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a few touches, maybe two or three touches a game, just to see if you can, you know, take advantage of some of that playmaking ability. Then once he gets up to speed from a knowledge of the playbook perspective and then physically, because the kid's going to have to get bigger. But in the interim, can you still, you know, see if he can do some razzle dazzle? I think they plan on doing that for sure.
I mean, I think they do. I think it'll be tough for him to get snaps over Peppers, who's playing basically the same position.
Yeah, I think. See, but here's my thing on Jabril. I think that the frequency with which they use him will be a function of who they're playing.
That's right. A good point. Yeah, that's a good
right. Because early in the season, I mean, you didn't see Jabril on offense last year. I got to think that maybe that's a plan for this year, too. Saving for Michigan State, Ohio State towards the end of the season.
He should play against Wisconsin and Penn State on offense. Like, they're good enough that they should get that privilege.
You know, I was a bit skeptical. I heard Brian say this maybe a couple weeks ago about the Ohio State game and how creative, in particular, our offense was in the first half of the Ohio State game, and I watched it a couple nights ago. I had a hard time going back and looking at that game. But you're right, Brian. I mean, we gained a lot of yards in that in the first half. I think about 230, 240 yards,
yeah.
An incredible number of yards. And we just didn't score a lot, and we sort of shot ourselves in the foot with
There was like a turnover and a fourth down miss or something.
And there was
like
the roughing the kicker thing,
right.
which was a huge thing in the first half when the game was 0-0 late in the first quarter, and we would have had the ball in good position. But it really was a creative offense with lots of formations and interesting use of Peppers And,
a lot of things worked and a lot of things should have worked.
Yeah.
So there were some instances where you have the guys who just don't identify who they're supposed to block.
Right. There was a lot of targeting problems.
And part of that's because you're putting in new stuff. Part of it's just like, dude, go block somebody. Don't change your mind halfway through the play. And Peppers was such a huge role. I think he played maybe a quarter of Michigan snaps in that game, which is at that point you're talking about he's as big a part of the offense as Grant Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was effective, and what's more, he was also effective as a decoy. Like, the kind of stuff they were doing with him was varied, really diverse, and threatening. And, you know, I think you're going to want to have that be a big part of your offense against, you know, the top end of your schedule.
You know, Craig brought up Ben Bredesen at left tackle. Now, you know, before I went away, you know, I talked about how this kid came in physically ready to go. And I saw, you know, I was mistaken, you know, thinking, man, he's probably going to be an interior guy. Then when I went and watched him down in Florida at the Under Armour All-American game at tackle, like, this kid can be a tackle. Through 1 week of practice, it's like, man, this guy is, he's going to challenge for the 2D. Legit. No, there's no two ways about it. Came back from vacation, it was clearly much more than that. Now, he's in a legit battle at the left tackle position, and I don't know if you guys saw the sub report. You know, what I had been hearing was that, hey, man, aggression. I mean, how do you bridge the experience gap with Grant Newsom? Grant doesn't have a ton of experience, but he's, you know, been at that left tackle spot going into the spring.
It's a big difference, yeah.
He's played in some actual games. How, as a true freshman, even if you're ready physically, you got good feet, you got good power, how do you bridge the experience gap? And what I heard was, man, aggression. The kid is really aggressive. Now, is he aggressive absolutely, or is he aggressive relative to Grant? I can't speak to that as much as I can say that to a man, when a number of different sources have said, hey, man, the kid is just aggressive. So when we talked to Taco Charlton yesterday and asked him about Ben Bredesen, that was the term that he used to describe him. He said, man, the kid is just aggressive. If he wins that job, I think that's the difference. I think that's why I think that's the difference maker for him, why you see him in a starting role. That's why I give him a legit shot. I think that with Grant, you know, I kind of, from a mentality standpoint, you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Mike Schofield.
Okay.
Reminds me of Mike Schofield.
But Schofield became a pretty good
player.
He's still in the NFL.
And he became a really good player, right? So it's not saying that he's not a good player, but from a mentality
standpoint. It'll take him a while.
So, and I guess this does speak to maybe there being a sort of a contrast from an on-field aggression, not personal foul after the whistle aggression, but from a whistle-to-whistle progression, Taylor Lewan. Ben Bredesen.
All right.
Interesting.
I mean, I think as far as aggression is concerned. Yeah.
I mean, if you're really having serious competition at this tackle, I think that gives Harbaugh a lot more freedom to put an extra tackle on the field. I mean, we know we're going to see an extra tackle near the goal line, but maybe in other situations as well.
I don't know if they have to do that this much this year because they got Wheatley, they have Asiasi. Like, they might not have to do it.
But Harbaugh likes to do it.
He does like to do it.
Like, that's the joy of watching the Jim Harbaugh football team, man. Right. You know, you get down to the goal line, he ain't throwing it from the 1 yard line.
A wrinkle. Yeah. So look, I don't think the die has been cast.
I mean,
for either guy at the moment, but I do think it's a legit. This is not just coach speak, and for Drevno to come out there and put it out, especially with it being a freshman. Most often, coaches are reluctant to heap any sort of extra pressure or expectations on a young guy, and he threw Ben Bredesen's name out there like, yeah, this guy, legit competition at the left tackle spot.
Like he was Mike Roblewski.
I mean, the thing is, you got to temper it. I mean, and I'm maybe the number one...
Pessimist?
Not pessimist. I'm
jerk-o.
Skeptic.
Well, whatever you want to say. I mean, a couple of years ago, I saw Freddie Canteen in the spring practice, and I thought, man, this guy isn't fast, but he looks like Fred Bolitnikoff.
Freddie Canteen was the greatest player.
He looked like Fred Bolitnikoff in this practice. I mean, with incredible feet, and I just thought, this guy's just, you know, so
he goes up against Blake Countess, and that goes really well, and that actually says more about Blake Countess.
Yeah, I mean, that may be true. And so
you have to temper your thought. But to Brian's point, if you are showing well, or at least well enough, against this defensive line. That has to say something about.
Yeah, no, that's
so. My
question
about Bredesen is, can he actually be better than Mason Cole was as a freshman? Because Mason Cole barely survived as a freshman. He was all right, but he made a huge leap forward in year two. And in year one, it was kind of like, meh. Like, because he's a true freshman, and that's just going to be the case unless you're Cam Robinson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would still prefer Newsom to win the job just because second year is a much better year than the first year. So I hear you. I'm just not.
That's not what you want to see.
That's not what I want to see.
Yeah. And I get that 100%. I think experience is a huge, huge advantage, but it's not an insurmountable one, is the conclusion that I've drawn from all of this. So
I hear you.
Time will tell. It's a legit, but the point is, it's legit. I don't think they're just throwing his name out there just to, let's just push Grant. By, you know, saying, hey, someone's nipping at your heels. I think it's legit. So, but maybe it will. Maybe the ultimate effect of the actual competition will that it just makes Grant Newsom that much better. So, we'll see.
Right. So, how's Bredesen rating out in the intellectual department?
We knew from an IQ standpoint. I'll give you a perfect example of his football IQ. So, I went to the Nike camp in Addison Trail, Illinois, a couple of years ago. And Bredesen was there, and he struggled early in that camp, struggled from a pass pro perspective in one-on-ones. And, you know, he explained it because there was a little break. He said, look, you know, in my high school, we run the football. We're downhill. Mm-hmm. We aren't facing wide nine DNs, and, you know, you got to open your hips and get out quick on guys like Austin Robertson who's at Michigan State now, the four-star defensive end. Like, but the kid is a ball player. Say what you want about the off the field stuff. The kid's a ball player. So he says it's another thing to face a kid like that. By the end of the camp, he was stoning those guys. And so talking to some of the coaches, they said, man, this kid is really good at taking a coaching point or making a mistake one time. And you tell him something, he fixes it immediately.
There you go. I like that.
And so he's not a guy that takes a long time to absorb a lesson. You give it to him, he internalizes it, and boom, he's ready to go. And so by the time we get to the Under Armour All-American game where you're facing a bunch of Austin Robertsons, he's going out there and doing his thing. And that was what convinced me that he could play tackle in college, was watching him down there. So what he doesn't have is experience right now. I think he's still going to get bigger and stronger too. But the biggest deficit for him at the moment, the biggest deficit at that position for that matter, is experience. And if you can, to Brian's point, you want to have a guy that's at least been on the field in front of 100,000 people before. But hey, man, if the guy, and Harbaugh said this ad nauseum, if the younger guy is just better, guess what? Guess what we're going to do? We're going to play the younger guy. So we'll see how it goes. 734-998-1050. Let's go to the phones. One of our frequent callers here on the roundtable segment, Don in Ann Arbor. Don, what's up?
Morning, everybody. Welcome back. Question about quarterback. From what I understand, I don't think there's anything in Harbaugh's history that would indicate he'd be inclined to do this. But do any of you think there's any likelihood or justification for Harbaugh going to a two quarterback rotation employing both Spate and Okorn, or do you think he will simply choose one guy and ride the rapids with him until such time as he's not getting the job done?
Rides the rapids.
Drevno was actually asked about this, and he said it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think you are going to see whoever is the second quarterback a lot early in the season because the score is going to be 85-0 by the start of the third quarter. So you could see the second quarterback get the second half or most of the second half in the first three games.
Ideally. I think back to the bowl game, for instance, and, man, he left the Rudock hand until.
Yeah, and he's having him throw these corner routes on
the
run.
He was auditioning him for the NFL, though.
Okay,
he was. Right. He was giving him more NFL tape because Lord knows the first half of that season wasn't going on that tape. So he had a goal there, and he achieved it. So I think it'll be one guy. I don't think you're going to see. I mean, if whoever the starter is does struggle, that's when you see the other guy in non-garbage time.
Yeah, yeah. Drevno, Brian, he's referencing the press conference. Was it?
It was recent, a few days ago. A
few days ago.
And, Monday.
Yes, thank you, Ira. Appreciate it. And he said, like Brian said, he said, no, we'll ride with one guy. He said, now, if we thought that a two-quarterback platoon, whatever you want to call it, would help us, then, you know, we would do that. But that's probably not how it's going to work out. So yeah.
The sub hasn't been very sub-like this year. There's been a lot of press conferences.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's Harbaugh has softened a bit in that regard in year two. And he kind of let on that it might be that way. Yeah. When we talked to him down in Chicago or at Media Day. So, you know, I haven't really decided yet. You know, I haven't really decided yet what we're going to do. So, but you saw when he did come out to talk to the media, he's a little testy. You know, he likes that. He likes most of that intel kept in house. And so if that helps you win, I say more power to you, man. You know, whatever it takes to get the W. Let's go back to the phone, 734-998-1050. Let's talk to Dennis in the OC. Dennis, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, great job, everybody. A question. We're talking about aggression with Ben Bredesen and how he exhibits that. And clearly that's very important in football. And, you know, given this coaching staff, Coach Harbaugh and his assistants, they preach that. And I'm wondering what you fellas are either seeing or hearing about aggression throughout the team in terms of their physical aggression and their you know, on the line of scrimmage nastiness and winning the line of scrimmage and hitting hard and all that sort of thing. How does that seem to be coming together so far?
I'm more of a precision guy. It's very important to be physically able and to move people. I just, you know, we've seen Magnuson for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever going to be a road grader.
Right.
You know, you kind of feel the same way about Braden. Kalis maybe, but Kalis has been mentally inconsistent. Like, I'm more impressed with someone like being able to do their assignment 100% of the time. We had some issues with that last year. I think going forward, you're going to see Michigan feel more aggressive because Don Brown's going to get after it a lot more than DJ Durkin did. So, I mean, well, maybe.
What does get after it mean? I mean, you know,
I'm specifically saying blitz.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's the reputation that he blitzes and blitzes a lot. But, you know, he's got an interesting team this year because he can blitz because he's got guys who can play man, but he doesn't need to blitz so much because he's got guys.
Yeah, but he's still going to.
Yeah,
I think there's a difference between what did he talked about aggression, right?
Yeah.
So there's a difference between aggression strategically and aggression as a temperament.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I do think that from a temperament perspective, especially on defense, that they are more aggressive. And I think you could almost totally attribute that to having a healthy and ready, primed Jabril Peppers. And to me, to have your best talent also be your loudest talker, I talked about this in the last hour, is I think there's a thing. It's an intangible. It's not an X and O. It's not a precision thing. It's an intangible factor that I think can really fuel and feed a team, or in this case, certainly a side of the ball. I think they draw off of him, and that he's a focal point defensively, that he is totally healthy, that he is a guy who has had great perspective brought to him by his injury adversity over his first couple of years. I don't think that what we've said we expected that defense is too lofty. I think it's right on point, and I think it has a lot. I mean, they got a lot of talent there, but I think him especially and what he's primed to do this season, his temperament, to Dennis and the OC's question, is going to be a big deal in helping them get there this year. I think. Again, I know it's intangible. I know it's not something that we can necessarily put a number to or a stat to. But I think there's a thing to having a dog on your team. If you can have your dog be your best player, that's even better. I think, you know, it doesn't have to be. Eric Mays was the temperament guy on the 97 team, but he wasn't their best player. So it doesn't have to be that way.
It's sort of like Brian Cook. There's not much to him, but there's a lot of intangibles. He's like the leader in the league.
Hey, you know what I found about Brian? You know what? I think there's more there than meets the eye.
What are he's we talking
like,
about?
He's kind of like a transformer. He's like a transformer. He's a robot in disguise, right?
No, 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 no. This is ridiculous.
They're putting together a 50,000 word season preview with dozens and dozens, dozens and dozens of clips. That is you're out of line, Craig Ross.
I think put it this way. If you had never met Brian Cook in person or heard him on the radio, I think you'd have an idea that he was a pretty funny guy. You wouldn't really know it until you talked to him and you sat across from him. I think you really get a feel.
Yeah,
man, that's a pretty funny, pretty cool dude from hanging with him as opposed to reading him. You get a piece of it.
That's very touching for a douchey statement.
Yeah, I mean,
especially for a guy that doesn't like Happy Gilmore. I mean,
no, you're all like, well, he's a terrible person, but
but he's got a lot of.
Like, come on, he did not say that. He did not say that at all.
I did. Well, Craig did, and he agreed.
Craig did kind of say that, but
Craig did say
that. I was simply saying that you get a certain idea. He's a pretty funny
guy. The round table has gone off
but
the rails.
But then when you sit across from him, you say, oh, he's a really funny guy.
That's right. Sam, you always get the true feel when you're sitting across from him.
I feel like Mark at D'Antonio right now.
Yeah. I have been disrespected.
9:31 on a Thursday
All
morning.
I got to say is when Brian shakes his head, you can hear the bolts rattle. You're on thin ice, Craig Ross.
We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050. 9:35 on a Thursday here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050. WTKA online at WTK.com. You're live here inside the MDN studios, folks. Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor. It's the place with the best sales selection and service around. They're located at 3515 Jackson Road in Ann Arbor with over 11 acres of inventory. They're the largest around as well. But if you don't have time to make it down to the lot to see that inventory for yourself, all you have to do is go to their website. Go to suburbanannarbor.com, click that specials tab, and up they come, the great lease deals like the one they have on the 2016 Chevy Silverado double cab. You can lease that for $274 per month with $274 down for 36 months. Or how about the all-new 2016 Chevy Cruze LT? Great new sporty body style, same great fuel efficiency. You can lease that for $213 a month with $213 down for 24 months. How about one of our favorites here at Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the 2016 Chevy Equinox, that midsize SUV. You can lease that for $247 a month with $247 down for 24 months. And last but certainly not least, the all-new 2016 Chevy Malibu 1LT. You can lease that for $231 a month, $231 down for 36 months. For those and other great lease deals, make it down to Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor or go to their website, suburbanannarbor.com, for all the great leases and all the lease details. Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor. Make the choice. Phone lines are wide open at 734-998-1050. With that, let's go to the phones. Go down to Virginia Beach and talk to Glenn. Glenn, you're on the round table. What's up?
How's it going, Sam?
Going great.
Good. I just wonder if you guys agree with me that it gets kind of frustrating for me to listen to the national sports commentators that claim that, well, they use the standard response that regardless of how much talent Michigan has this year, that it's more likely that Michigan would make inroads next year because of the GM's third-year coaching, which is normally the case. They want to give a new coach 3 years or so to establish himself. But I believe if you actually look at the talent and the class, when you see how much talent is in the senior class, Michigan actually has a much better chance of making noise this year in 2016 and 2017. Even though next year they'll probably have a returning starter at quarterback.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's
me too.
Like, if you look at the roster, you've got how many guys do they think they're going to be in the NFL draft? 10, 12? Like, they're going to get a ton of guys in the draft. And, you know, Ohio State is probably headed for a relative down year. Michigan State doesn't look that great. Like, this has got to be it. And if you look at great coaches historically, like year two is a year where they make huge progress. So Bob Stoops won a national title his second year. Nick Saban, I think, went from 7-6 to a BCS loss, but they were like 12-2 or something like that. You see like the effect of getting a huge coaching upgrade most in year two because that's the first year that they can build on what they did in year one. So I completely agree that this is going to be a big year for Michigan. And I think the person who said that most recently was Kirk Herbstreit, and Kirk Herbstreit is unreliable.
Yeah, I mean,
he's picking Ohio State.
Yeah, and I feel like he's got
biases there.
As much as you said that, I feel like he's been downplaying Michigan a little bit. Or trying to, you know, like, temper, wait, not so fast on Michigan.
He does have to go back to Columbus on a regular basis. He already got chased out of there
for
not being positive enough about Ohio State. So he's got things on his mind.
Picked Ohio State for the playoff last night.
Craig?
Yeah, I who knows about 2017? It seems way premature to look at to see what that's going to look like right now. But this year looks like a good opportunity. I mean, Michigan State's on the road, but I think we're probably a better team. Ohio State's on the road. I think we may be a better team. Iowa is on the road, but I think we're probably a better team. So, I think this year has incredible potential, assuming two things. One, you know, we get some kind of quarterback play, and two, that the offensive line is at least – competent.
I mean, the offensive line should be fine. I have my doubts whether they're going to be an elite unit.
No, they won't. I doubt if they'll be elite.
I mean, or even like a B-plus unit, but they're not going to be a season sinker. And then, you know, if you look at Jim Harbaugh's quarterback track record, I'm kind of like, it'll be fine. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, I like the talent on this team, but I understand what people are saying, right? You have a coach. Harbaugh's coming in. He's recruiting big-time classes already. I mean, I absolutely expect that that talent level on this team is going to go up as we go through the years. And we can't really project what 2017 is going to look like right now, but I bet Rashawn Gary is going to be pretty good. I bet when you get a starter, a quarterback that maybe is in a second year,
or you got
Brandon Peters coming in or whoever else he's recruiting.
Yeah, and you don't know how a guy like David Long will progress and whether he's going to be, you know, he may be ready to just step in and look like Leon Hall next year. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think we're in a phase, and as far as, you know, if you had a farm system, right, you know, the guys have been in the pipeline for a bit. Now they're finally making their way to the big club. And I'm talking about this senior group, all these guys that are going to be in the draft. This was like Brady's first, you know, like really good class kind of reaching maturation. Right. Now you get Harbaugh kind of picking it up and taking it to another level. I think we're in an era now where you start to see the talent level be what we were used to it being. Seemingly eons ago, getting back up on that perch. Now, you know, Ohio State's a whole different level. You know, Ohio State and Alabama seem to be, I can't quite get, I can get Alabama. Ohio State, the way that they are, the year that they're having on the recruiting trail is, I marvel at what they're doing right now. But I feel like those that are concerned about Michigan being able to keep pace need to be patient. Because Michigan has a lot of scholarships left in the holster. I think you're going to see, them land some really talented guys here down the stretch. And even if you see Ohio State wind up with classes that are, you know, a couple of spots higher in the rankings, remember Harbaugh was at Stanford when USC was doing that, right?
Yeah.
And he did his thing despite that. So,
and Michigan's going to be a top five recruiting class. It, you know, recruiting is important, but as long as Michigan's within striking distance, and they will be,
I agree.
It'll be fine.
I mean, we can put this to a test. I mean, we can say you want to bet on this year or next year with more success. I mean, that might not necessarily means wins.
You know, I honestly haven't even thought about next year. I haven't even thought about next year yet.
I haven't either, but I'll take next year.
Well, this guy is not thinking about next year. The guy who called is he's thinking about this year. So
And I think this team is going to be great. I guess I get a little bit more what supposedly these national folks are saying.
Hey, 7-3-4.
They haven't looked at a roster. That's what that statement means. I mean, I have not looked at Michigan's roster.
Right, but have you looked at the 2017 Michigan roster?
No. That's what the national. They're just like, it's too early.
Oh, okay.
Blah blah blah. I don't have anything more useful to say. Not you.
7-3.
You're
four.
Fine for now.
9-9-8-10-50. Just don't talk about Jake Rudock after the Indiana game. 7-3-4. I didn't say that.
We're going back to the tape, Brian Cook. I'm going back to the Indiana tape.
I don't.
Ira, we got that right.
I don't remember if it was that week.
Probably do actually.
All right.
There was definitely an argument about whether Jake Rudock had improved. And I was pro, and you were con, and this drove me crazy.
734-998-1050. Let's go to Cali and talk to Eddie. Eddie, how you doing?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Eddie, you coming to town this year?
you know what? I might not make it to the big house. You know, it's just a budget type thing.
I got you.
But I do have tickets for my boys coming out here to Pauley Pavilion at UCLA. I'm going to make that five-hour drive, and I'll be there for my boys for the basketball game against UCLA. But I'm going to try to make it to the big house, though.
Okay. All right. What's up? What you got for us this morning?
You know, my question, what I wanted to ask you guys, pretty much reflected what the previous caller asked, because I saw what Herb Street said yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw the Herbies or what I like to call the Herpes. He pretty much said, he said that they're better off next year, right? And when I listen to you guys, there's reason for me to be optimistic as a fan. But then he says what he said yesterday, and then I recall what Coach Hoke said about the second year actually being tougher than the first year. So as a fan, you know, you're kind of like leveling off what the local boys are saying and then what the national boys are saying. Clearly, though, the local boys are more entrenched in what's really going on. So as a fan, I should be more optimistic than what homeboy's saying on ESPN, right?
Yes.
Yep. I would say so, yes, especially because – I mean, a lot of these guys, they're just asked to talk about everybody. So they throw off a paragraph. They don't really do a lot of research.
What? I'm just trying to figure out how your point is so clear and so right. How could anyone that looks at this roster and pays attention to what they're going to lose after this year and throw if Jabril Peppers has the kind of year that everyone expects him to have, him too. And so that team on paper, you're going to say that's better. They could be really good. I mean, depending on how a lot of these freshmen, how quickly they develop, there's a lot of potential there. But you're going to lose a lot on the defensive front. You're going to lose a lot in the secondary. You're going to lose probably your best player if he plays up to expectations in Jabril Peppers. That team is probably going to, and they're going to have a precipitous drop, but
it's going to be like this year's Ohio State team.
There you go.
Like they got a lot of talent, but we don't really know until we see it on the field.
Exactly.
So, but you're going to see it on the field this year. So
I don't know what Herb Street's talking about.
I don't know either. I literally did not look at a roster. That's my prediction.
7-3-4. Unless he just puts overwhelming emphasis on returning starter or quarterback.
National media guys always do that. It's always about that.
Well, and I also see this huge emphasis on rising sophomore quarterback that played last year. I mean, you see all this hype about Washington and Jake Browning is going to be the man, and Josh Rosen, rising sophomore, Lamar Jackson at Louisville. I mean, these are all teams that have a lot of hype because of the sophomore quarterback.
I buy Josh Rosen. I don't buy Jake Browning.
Right. I agree with you. Yeah, I think Rosen lost a ton of weapons, though. Like, he lost his whatever the running back, Paul, whatever his name was. A lot of his receivers are gone. A lot of guys left off the line. So, yeah, if he's good, he better show it.
Rosen will show it. That guy can play.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was number one. Was he number one or number two coming out of high school? I'm trying to remember. Right.
Quarterback or overall?
Quarterback.
He was number one, I think. I mean, it depends on who you listen to.
He's the definitive number one NFL draft pick in 2018.
Sure.
Just like Hackenberg already was in 2016.
No, no. he's not Hackenberg.
734-998-1050. Let's go to the phones, talk to Don in Sylvania. Don, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'd just like to know, the left tackle is covered. Sam covered Stribs. We covered Peppers. But isn't it a little concerning that is anybody pushing Brian Cole at center? I mean, that is probably the most critical position, I think, on offense, Jason, even more than the quarterback. Like to know how you guys feel about that, because I'm hearing nothing or anybody pushing Brian Cole, and I'd like to get your opinion on
that. Well, I don't know why that would be concerning to you that Mason Cole, your best lineman, is doing a great job, according to all folks that are at practice every day.
Honestly, he's not being talked about because it's just assumed
that he's going to do his
thing. And it feels like it's a made in heaven switch, right?
He's going to be an awesome center. Yeah. Like all the stuff he did last year as a tackle, like the ability to move in space, the ability to get to the second level and block a linebacker, that is stuff that is going to be very, very important for him as a center. And, you know, the pass protection stuff that he wasn't that great at, is going to be seriously mitigated because he's not going to have to deal with Joey Bosa as a center. He's He's going to be great. I expect him to deserve to be a Remington finalist, but after the Mackey travesty last year, I cannot promise he'll be a finalist or win it, but I think he's going to be in that conversation. Is that good?
Yeah, I think you're reading too much into the lack of mention of whoever the second string guy is. Mason Cole is, as Brian said, a given to be somewhere on the offensive line. Now, it should speak to you that Tim Drevno has been very clear in saying that his preference is to always have his best offensive lineman play center. And it ought to be telling that that's where Mason Cole is, because Mason Cole could play anywhere on this line, but he chose to have him at center. So I think it's a big, it shouldn't be, of all the things to be concerned about, would be the least of my concerns if I were you.
Yeah, especially on the offensive line. Like, he's the most solid guy. He had the best year last year. He's moving to a position that's extremely well suited for his talents. He's going to be good.
734-998-1050. Let's go out to Ipsy and talk to Keith. Keith, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show. I like every other Michigan fan, I'm so looking forward to this season. Who do you think is going to have a big, big breakout, you know, All-American season? And I look at the defense and we're great and everybody's high expectations. I think they can get four shutouts, go back to those days of Bull and those defenses that held opponents to, you know, single digits in scoring. But then you look across the line at Jehu Chesson, and you got Darbo and Jake Butt. Man, what do you think? Who's going to just really – I know everybody's expecting Jabril Peppers to have that kind of year, but I'd love to see Chesson just go off for about 1,500 yards and about 15 touchdowns or so. What do you think, guys? Who's going to be the strength, the better strength, the offense or the defense?
I don't think Chesson can get there just because you have Jake Butt, you have Amara Darbo, you have a bunch of guys who you can target. As far as breakout guys, it's tough because Michigan has so much coming back, as you said. Like, does Jay Chesson really count as a breakout player if he puts up 1,000 yards this year? I would say no, because he was already at like 700 a year ago. Mm-hmm. So in terms of guys who haven't produced numerically, Jabril is going to blow up in terms of tackles for loss just because of the defense he's in now. And then I think Devion Smith. So Devion Smith, I didn't like how he played for much of the year. I thought he was missing a bunch of tackles. But
you liked him in Florida.
He was awesome in the bowl game.
Yeah.
Like, he was doing things I'd never seen him do before. He looked like Mike Hart on a couple of plays, which just being able to dodge guys in the backfield. And he made the most out of his blocking. He got a lot of yards himself in that bowl game. Did well against Ohio State, did well against Indiana. So if you look at the last half of his season, suddenly it kind of starts to look like Jake Rudock's back half, where suddenly, like, it clicks for him and he's doing much better. And then this spring, just to see him just put on the shelf, where it's just like, we know about you. We don't need to put you out on the field anymore. So I think Devion Smith takes a major step forward and looks like a guy who the NFL might draft.
I go with Amara Darbo. I know Amara, like Devion, was a guy you saw make plays last year. But this spring, man, he really seemed to take his game to another level. And you know, I know a lot of people don't use practice as a great barometer or litmus test, but when you go against Jordan Lewis in practice every day, and when you have your share of success against that guy, that speaks to me. He was the guy that no one other than JD could cover Amara Darbo. Now that might not mean much, but then when you put JD on him and he got deep on JD. He was able to play the short game on JD. He was able to make plays in space and down the football field. I just really think that Harbaugh wasn't giving you coach lip service when he said, this is our best receiver. I think the kid looked like an all Big Ten guy in the spring, hearing that there's been fall carryover. If that translates, if what we saw in the spring and what they're saying about him in fall camp translates, he'll be an all Big Ten player.
Yeah, I like Chris Wormley. This is a guy that had 14.5 tackles for loss last year.
He can't break out. Yeah, you just said he had 14 and a half tackles for loss.
I know, but no one's talking about him. Have we said Chris Wormley's name this month? No.
So you think he'll have more than that this year?
Well, I think he only won't have more because they have so much.
Yeah. He's a first round pick.
I mean, I'm shocked that he didn't go to the NFL last year. I feel like we had this conversation last December, January, and Wormley was sticking around. Yeah, and
I mean, Wormley's phenomenal.
I think he's going to be fantastic. I hope he gets more of the recognition that he deserves. I mean, with that height, that size.
I forgot.
Brian asked me this question every year, and I'm wrong every year. I think for 6 years in a row, I said Marvin Robinson, and I was wrong every time. But I really like DeMonte Thomas this year. I mean, last year after the Minnesota game, Brian said, I have an exact quote, the safety play gives him the heebie-jeebies for next year. And
That was after.
Where did you get that quote?
Wrote it down during our show.
You have that?
I have it, yeah.
He's Craig Ross has that. On me.
Did you see that little that yellow thing over there? He writes on that.
See, lawyers have these legal pads.
And so this is from last year?
Last year. I saved it to drag it out now.
Well, that was after Delano Hill did the thing where he tries to punch the ball out from behind again on a Mitch Leidner zone read that he totally blew for a 30-yard touchdown, if you remember that. Yeah. And Thomas came in. We didn't really know much about him. He got shook really badly on a route, and then both those guys really improved at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I loved DeMonte's a good tackler. He made a lot of tacklers in open space that were hard tackles.
I think you mean Hill.
Well, both of them.
Both of them?
Both of them. I think the safeties could really both break out this year, and I think because of the strength in the corners and the strength in the defensive line, I think there's a real opportunity to see some nice safety play this year.
What I liked from Thomas is in the spring game he had the interception where mm-hmm. as soon as Shane Morris sets up to throw to the corner of the end zone, before the ball's even out, he's headed over there. Right. And he had the speed to get over the top and intercept that ball, which is a pretty well-thrown ball. Mm-hmm. But more of it was just like he made the mental note to go get there. So I think he can really break out.
Yeah. So release date for your preview?
Monday.
All right, so folks, Monday is the day. Brian will drop his preview on mgoblog.com. The Power Rank. What's going on, real quick?
We're opening up for new members this afternoon.
All right, and you writing a new book, Craig?
I am, but it's not about football. I've wrote about 70 pages this summer, but I don't know. We'll see. I'll talk about it.
Is it a novel? You write a novel?
That too. I got that one going too.
All right, folks. We got to get out of here. Coming up next, Inside the Huddle with Mike Spath, followed by the Jim Rome Show at noon. Tigers taking on the Twins. Our coverage picks up at 12:45, followed by the Huge Show. Tomorrow we'll have John U. Bacon and more here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk.